The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
To happen. Something has happened already. Did you feel it? We're in a very strong move already. Ooh, I love the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. And I carry that atmosphere. Jeremiah 51. I'll just say a little thing on what God wants me to do tonight. I'll not be going into maybe some exegesis as you know it, but I'll just say a few things. Jeremiah 51 from verse 1. But before we read verse 1, let's read verse 20 so that you see why I'm going to have us read verse 1. If you're here and the little you're thinking about in your head is, I'm a new creation freak, but if you're someone at that extreme, then this meeting will not benefit you. Do you understand? People want to. God said to me, I want you to announce that my battle axe should arise. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For within, now he was talking in context to the people of Israel. He said, you are my battle axe. With thee, I will break in pieces the nations. And with thee I will destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. With thee will I break in pieces old and young. With thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. At this point, I'm wondering, what is it saying? That I will also break in pieces with thee, the shepherd and his flock. With thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. With thee will I break in pieces captives and rulers. And I will render the Babylon unto all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, said the Lord. Amen. So he said, you are my battle axe. He began to say what he was going to do with Israel. But you notice, after talking about, now, when I read this, God said, I will need my battle axe to arise. So I began to ask, why? What is this battle asked for? What is it exactly? And he took me back to chapter 1, verse 1 of Isaiah 51. So listen, I'm going to introduce something to you, something you might have heard that have been explained wrongly in some places. I'm going to show you contextually what it is. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. And will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble there shall be against her round about. Just continue. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifted himself up in his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans talk about Babylon, and they that are trust through it. Trust in her trees, in her streets. For Israel had not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God. Hallelujah. God has not forsaken Israel. God has not forsaken Judah. Though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Okay, for he said, flee out of the midst of Babylon, deliver every man his soul. So you notice, I'll go for the next chapter. But he was talking about a nation. The nation of Babylon. Normally, historical context now, he was talking about Babylon as an existing nation. Amen. And at that time, Israel, they were in captivity in Babylon, physically. Physically. So this wasn't, he was just talking spirit physically, this is what God is going to do, God is going to deliver Israel. But then something caught my attention. And that is the fact that by the time to verse 13 of this, Jeremiah 51. Watch what I'm going to show you. Read it to me, everybody. Verse 31. Let's go. O thou that dwellest upon many... Who is he referring to here? Babylon. He began, if you read the whole of Jeremiah 51, began, at the time, after referring to Babylon as a nation, began to refer to her as a person. Began to call her she. And verse 13, he said, she dwells upon many waters. Are you following me? Now, hold on here. Go to Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me and saying, come hither, and I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that seated upon. Do you remember that? He says, Sahara, the same people he's talking about. We're going to see shortly. Next verse. Quickly. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of our fornication. Who is he talking about? So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I see a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of our fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots. So you see, the same thing said about the nation of Babylon, and that person is described in Jeremiah 51, is now being talked about again, this time in the vision that John saw. That tells you that Babylon is not just a nation, it's also something that has a spiritual significance. It's a spiritual entity. Are you getting me? So, historically, Jeremiah was talking about, okay, the nation of Babylon. But spiritually, he was describing a spirit. This is what I'm going to show you. So, it says, Mystery Babylon with the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth, see verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood. I'm coming to all of this only. So, a woman called Babylon, a nation called Babylon, described as she. In the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah saw her sitting upon many waters. In the New Testament, John saw her sitting upon many waters. All those other waters is not marine spirit, not just scandal. I follow me. So that's if I didn't even answer you, what is that? What if I before I get to this, look at Revelation 14, verse 8. Babylon. We're coming from Jeremiah 51. Followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations. So you see, John talked about that from Revelation 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, he had to call about this particular city. And this particular woman, a city and a woman, same person, called Babylon. Amen. So let me ask her, what is, he says she sits upon many waters. What does that mean? Remember I taught you in explaining Revelation, the meaning of a vision is with the person that saw the vision. So what did John saw her as a woman? So no, but what are those, what is the water? Revelation 17 verse 15. I don't even need to explain it, you just read it and you answer. Verse 17 verse 15. Read it to me, everybody. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse seated are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this is a demonic spirit that cast her influence over people, over nations, over cities. So when the Bible was prophesying about Babylon, it wasn't just a physical city, it was a spiritual city too. Let me say this, so that when God was now saying, I'm running out of myself, let me just say this. So when God was now saying, so I might battle act with you without being of the nation, it wasn't talking about the whole nation of the earth, it was talking about a particular city. I'm going to raise some men from this meeting. Some men will arise here because a lot is going on in the realm of the spirit in these last days. This is the major spirit, call it whatever you want to call it, that we are contending with in these last days.
whichever that is not born again is possessed. You guys started laughing.
But actually, that is a demonic spirit. He said, she's that whole you saw. So, Jeremiah saw as for many waters. Maybe he didn't even understand it. John saw the same thing. But being in the New Testament, you know, God said, let me explain further to you. She's not a woman inside of marine kingdom. The waters you see are symbolic of people, nations, kingdoms. This is what she's doing. She has cast her entrance. Okay, by the time I'm done showing, you'll find out that majority of the things happening in our generation today is this particular demon. This particular spirit. But I can tell you for free, Babylon is fallen. And I didn't know what was going to lead me this direction in this meeting. But as I know, I just knew one day was going to have me talk about this. If certain people make a mess with you, you know, say, this one is Babylon, that's Babylon, I'm going to show you. There's actually a demonic entity called Babylon. Call it whatever you want to call it. There's a demon that sits upon many waters. The name written is Mystery Babylon the Great. That's a lot. So I'm going to show some of the things that this spirit does. Look, go to Revelation 14 verse 8. Let's call it again. Revelation 14 verse 8. See, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the rot of fornication. Now, fornication in this context is not about sex. We're going to get to that too. There is that part too, but that's what he's talking about here. Being about sex, don't move. So, but he said, all nations have drunk of the wine of fornication. When you see fornication and whoring used in Bible terms and prophetic terms, it's not always fornication as you know it. In fact, one translation that caught it very well is Amplified Classic. So please put up Amplified Classic. Look at what it says. Then another angel, second followed, declaring, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink of the maddening wine of her passionate unchastity, in parenthesis, idolatry. So it's actually that thing that spirit that makes the people leave God and go after other gods. This thing that there are 201 religions in the world, they are dealing with this demon. Idolatry. Isaiah 21 captured it perfectly. Isaiah 21 verse 9 captured it very perfectly. Isaiah 21 verse 9. Isaiah 21 and verse 9. We're going back to Revelation 21 verse 9, not 51. Isaiah 21 and verse 9. It says, and behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered, saying, Babylon is fallen. You see, that same thing that John quoted, that John saw in a vision. I get it. So that's why some of those things, angels are talking to John, they were quoting the Old Testament. Like, yeah. But look at how this Babylon is falling, and all the graven images of our gods he had broken onto the ground. See, this thing that, you know, you see many places, even young boys, young girls, are venturing into idolatry. Have you observed? They call it G+. They call it Ukite. You know those kind of things. It is in this last days, it will increase. You will see more men going to idolatry. You are dealing with the spirit here. I tell everybody, you will see more men venturing into idolatry. More men. Because there is that spirit called Babylon. Called Babylon. In Revelation 17, verse 1. Revelation 17, verse 1. Let's just go back there. We're coming from there just shortly. It says, and there came one of the seven angels, which are the seven bears, talked with me, saying, come, I will show unto the judgment of the great whore that stood upon many waters. That's the great whore that has cast her influence over many people. Is that correct? Because we've seen that water talks about people. Is it? Are you following? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now he's talking about immorality. He said, and the heavens of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You see, the rise in immorality, the rise in social immorality you find in our generation, you find that at this time it's looking like it is normal. You know, it's not that bad. This is what is going on. That is a whore that sits upon many waters. Some of you, your institution, that's what is going on. You will still see this thing called indecent dressing. This thing called people going naked. That is the spirit that sponsors that thing. Are you following me? I'm telling you something. You haven't seen me in this light. Going this way. But I'm telling you for free. And the spirit that sponsors this thing, they've been made to drink of her fornication. They
me show you. Verse 5. Harlotry.
He said, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. That stuff that makes position increase, be baptized, if you call it hook up, it is the spirit ruling this generation. What John is saying is very prophetic here. Very super prophetic. He's saying both what has happened to Babylon in Christ, how that Christ has defeated, and then what will happen to Babylon. I'm going to show you naturally. What will happen? Because naturally Christ has defeated Babylon, but there is still Babylon. Just like Christ has defeated the devil, but Satan is still parading the earth. So what is he doing? Casting his influence over people. The mother of harlots. So you notice sometimes you come, let me tell you, even without this Bible thing I'm teaching you now, if you come into some environment, some schools and all that, you cannot doubt that there is the demonic force controlling these people. You cannot doubt. Forget Bible. Someone can come into school looking so pure, looking so proper, looking, give that 2 years. Look at the city. Do you realize that the biggest thing that sells now is immorality? And I'm teaching you a very big secret too. You won't advertise anything, show a naked woman. Even television. Show a naked woman. You say, it's just how life is. It's really not how life is. John showed us there is a hall that sits upon many waters. They've been made, she's the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You know, abomination is a very big word. You see what is happening there? Some things I was talking about last night, and people are just laughing. See what is happening around, let's make homosexuality normal. Let's say there is nothing wrong with transgender. Some things that 5 years ago you cannot even reason in your head. Imagine if your father is dead, my father is late. Imagine he wakes up and you tell him that in that generation now, men will now go and change themselves to become women. He will tell you it's not possible. And there are things you see, you can swear that there is a demon controlling these people. I'm still coming to kings. The Bible says the kings have been made to drink of the wine. This is the spirit of God that controls political power. So you see people going there because they make crazy promises. And whether you are saying what I'm teaching, whether you think, why are we going into demons? Let me tell you. The point is whether you call it Babylon or you call it demon or you call it anything, there is a spirit that controls men and makes them misbehave. I do ministry in school environment. Sometimes it's like something has been cast over the school and you can almost sense it. Everybody's going in one direction. And that is where you are. That is where you are. There are cities you get, and this influence, this thing has entered Enugu state. It has entered Enugu. It has already been here, but this idea of this abomination part is creeping into this place. These days, you can't walk around this town with your eyes open because somebody is wearing something you don't know. You know, there is indecent dressing and there is foolishness. That's another level of indecent dressing. People just come out. And they give you thinking. And I'm going to be able to prove to people like that that there is a demonic force controlling them. And I will still show you in the Bible. Now, whether you say, it's just, you know, the point is, Satan makes his works look normal. He said, it's how they want to be. It's my choice. Don't you think it wasn't your choice when you were growing up? Sometimes you should be smart. Sometimes you get into an environment, something suddenly becomes your choice. So what is happening? The rate of addiction, the rate of drug addiction, a generation, there are forces that control these things. If I let me take something a step further, go to verse 6. Please watch what I'm going to show you. verse 6. And I saw the woman. She was drunk. What did she drink? The blood of the saints. Persecution of saints. Persecution of the church. You're dealing with this man, this lady. In fact, attack against men of God. Attack against the church. Man of God did this. Man of God story. Man of God are foolish. This is the man I'm dealing with. She's against. I'll just show you something else in the Bible. But there's another entity related with her that sisters. That is the same person called Jezebel. I'm coming to that. Immediately Jezebel manifested. What was the first thing she said? I need a righteous head. He said, if I don't collect your head tomorrow, Elijah ran. Do you know that there is another person that came in the spirit of Elijah? Do you know him? His name was John the Baptist. Then another Jezebel manifested. Guess what that one requested? John the Baptist's head. Same pattern. Pay attention. So you see people say, you know, man of God, I don't believe, man of God, I'm stupid. No, man of God, I'm stupid. God is dead. He is drunk with the blood of the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs. And John saw her. He said, I want that in great admiration. It's not like John was admiring her, you know, to understand Bible 10. Yeah, he was shocked. He never knew something like that existed in the spirit. So the physical, they were martyred, they were killing saints. But the woman was getting drunk with the blood of the saints. He said, oh, he did not. The church was burnt. They burnt the church. Everybody dead. There is a woman that drinks of that blood. Now, I'm not trying to make you become very superstitious and you know, begin to think some demonic in your head. But you see, nothing in the physical just happens. So, where are you going to with all this? You have to follow me too. Say, war against men of God. Martyrdom. If you give some people gun today, they will shoot pastors. And sometimes you wonder why. It doesn't make any logical sense, but the hate is there. Because it doesn't make any logical sense. The same pastor wants to bring the pastor down, he's actually going to another pastor for prayers. It doesn't make any sense. Now there's this comedian. And it's actually funny. There's this comedian that, I don't know his name, I think he's becoming very popular now. He acts all this, he's a native doctor. Have you seen the guy? He's a native doctor, and people come to him, and he just start like, have you seen that joke? You say, my son, it is done. And, you know, he was making a mess of the whole native doctor profession. I know people came, I saw people come to the comments to say, see, you are playing with African traditional religion. The person was angry that they were embarrassing native doctors. The same person sees nothing wrong with a church being attacked. You can swear that there is a demon dealing with these people. Now, you know the thing about demonic possession, where you are possessed, you don't know. You don't agree. The day you agree you are possessed, your freedom has started. Mad people don't believe they're mad. The day they agree they are mad, they are now fagging. Don't you think so? I dare say, oh, I'm mad. Something is actually wrong with me. It means he got himself to know that something is wrong with him. So, chapter 18, verse 1. Chapter 18 of Revelation. I want us to pray. After these things, amen. I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great. This is not important. John will not be. This is four chapters now. Same woman. Is fallen and is become the attention of devils. But I like that Revelation kept declaring her fall. And we're going to enforce that fall. Because not only Babylon, Satan is fallen. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. What we do in relating with demonic forces is just to enforce our victory in Christ Jesus. That's all. So it's fallen, but I'm going to show you what the whole agenda. He said that it's become the oppression of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the gate of every unclean and hateful bed. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Kings. The talk about kings. There is something. So you see, the kings of the earth, they whore with this woman. Not about fornication or whatever, no. They go after her. And she intoxicates them. So someone is just so calm and you make him governor or whatever. He starts misbehaving. John kept saying, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18, the kings of the earth are drunk with the wine of this woman's fornication. They are drunk. And the drunk is a strong word. It means they are under her influence. That's what it means. It means they are under. So somebody goes to the power, a strange influence comes upon the person. So somebody becomes the president of one Western nation and just thinks that the best thing to do is to travel all over the world, making sure that every country accepts transgenders. And then you begin to wonder, have you solved any problem in your country? He said, no, we are preaching human rights. And you are preaching human rights and you are imposing your own ideology on another nation. Stealing their own human rights. We should have a choice to say we don't want what they are giving us. They are still forcing us to take your human rights, your freedom of... So the kings of the earth, they are drunk. But look at something else that caught me. It says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of our delicacies. This want for immoral wealth in our generation, this is it. I guess, let me tell you something. If you study the Bible very well, the things happening in our generation, you'll not be like, wow, why is it just there? Our generation, every 17-year-old boy wants to drive Benz. Some things are stupid. 14-year-old wants to drive Benz. Let me tell you this to you. When I was 18, 19, 20, it's jam, bro. Nothing else but jam. But now it looks like you're stupid. He said, they are rich through the abundance of our delicacies. I want you to put up like amplified of that verse. Let's read it, verse 3. Everybody please watch what I'm going to show you. We are going to do something today. For all nations have drunk the wine of our passionate unchastity. And the rulers of the and leaders of the earth have joined with her in committing fornication. That's idolatry. Remember I showed you that too. So you see, they go after her and then worship her. They don't even know that worshiping is the demonic spirit. And the businessmen of the earth have become rich with the wealth of our excessive luxury and wantonness. So there is something about blood money. There is something about cheating people to get money. There's something about duping people. There's something about compromise to get money. There is something that sponsors these things. You see, that's why I want to say to parents, as you begin to give birth to children, get them to Christ early. Because see, if you like the New Testament, the New Creation, there are spirits that walk on the earth. Take it or take it. There are spirits that walk on the earth. And they keep moving up and down. This is just one. And this is so important that John took like 3-4 chapters to discuss the fall of this particular city. The fall of this city. Fall of this woman. So you see that craze for wealth our generation now, as everybody said, you know, if you know blow, that is what is happening. So sponsors, musicians, sponsors, everybody, just be singing this, just be saying this thing, let's be thinking this way. And all of us are thinking in a particular way, singing in a particular song, listening in a particular way, and you know, somehow it has even entered your mind. If someone is poor, the person is useless, the person failed in life. Who wants to marry a poor man? I can never marry a poor man. How they get that money is not important. Okay. See verse 9. I'll just stop there for now. And I mentioned political power. I wanted to show you in verse 9. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live
deliciously with that, but they shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see, because she's going to fall. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So this generation has been intoxicated by this person. Everything I'm showing you, the fact that there is grace for immorality and all that, and you notice this prophecy came as far as the book of Jeremiah. She's an ancient devil you are dealing with here. In the physical, there was a physical Babylon, but in the spirit, it has spiritual implications. Okay, so there's another spirit, so I've already mentioned, that's Jezebel. The same thing, you know, there is a physical Jezebel in the Old Testament. Do you understand? Physical Jezebel. That's not who I'm talking about. You know, it doesn't even make the name Babylon a bad name. It doesn't even make the name Jezebel a bad name. It just that the apostles chose these names, Babylon and Jezebel. Now, not really because that is the name the spirit bears, but to be able to, like, they've seen what the city is doing, and that's the only way they can liken what that demon represents. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like in the spirit that there is somebody called Babylon, no. But the only way they can describe everything that says, this is that demonic force. So you see, Jezebel was in the Old Testament, we know her story now. But then by the time you read Revelation 2 verse 20, John wrote a letter to a certain church. Look at what John said. We know to start, and I have a few things against him, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel. The same Jezebel we see in the Testament that attacked, and like I killed her, Jehu killed her. So it's not about that physical one. But he said that physical one, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. What does she do? To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. What is fornication? Idolatry, to eating sacrifice to idol. That thing that makes her to go after. But let me even say something to you. You see this thing that sponsors false prophets, where people go to native doctors, get demonic powers, and are seen. I can tell you things. There is a cave, not in the spirit, real life. And if you enter into that cave and spend 2 days there, if you come out, you will see clearly. There is water they will give you. You plead, you wash your face, you see. Why do you think East Africa is messed up with all these religious charlatans? Have you observed? East Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya. There is a cave in East Africa, actually, that when you get a man of God was talking about, saying they took him there. If you just get there, enter there, smell like children, if you come out, you will be calling names. I'm not joking, you. He said, it's not, somebody even said, that is not the more, it's not like you are going to the same doctor. It's a natural thing that God created and put there. So when you enter and I come out, you'll be seen. Is this lady? Jezebel, that's who she is. Babylon. They walk hand in hand. He said, what do you mean by that? All of them are demons. So, it's the same devil that owns all of them. So that's the reality of what goes on in the spirit. I get the point. That's really tough. You can just see things happening in the physical, but there are forces that have taken over people, and then they do certain things that they do. You know, what I told you, I said, whenever you see a crowd, crowds don't gather for nothing. Whenever you see a mob, it don't gather for nothing. I was talking to my brother this afternoon. We were talking about the minister, and I said, I don't know what that minister is doing, but for him to get that kind of crowd, that is a spirit, is it that the spirit of God or of the devil? Crowds don't just gather. So whenever you see a setting, something is happening, and many people in the country or in the world are doing the same thing and saying the same thing and going the same direction, pay attention to that. There are spirits that control those things. So all of us are saying, pastors have come, even people that haven't met any pastor in their life. So you can swear that there are forces that control the earth and make these things want to happen. So I just laid the foundation, because Jeremiah 51 says, we can't talk about Babylon. That's what took me to this now. He now go back to Jeremiah 51 verse 20. He, after talking about Babylon from verse 1 to verse 19, he now said, "Thou art my battle axe. With thee will I break in pieces the nations." So the nation is talking about this, not any nation on the earth. He's talking about a particular nation. That's a spiritual reality there. And what God wants to do. Now he said, "Thou art my battle axe." When he says "thou art," in God, historically, he was talking to Israel as a nation. But today, the church is the Israel of God. So what Israel was meant to do to the physical Babylon, the church will do to that spiritual entity called Babylon. He said, "Thou art my battle axe." He said, "With you, I will break in pieces the nations. With you, I will break in pieces kingdoms." With you. With you. This is what God wants to do. Because we are very close to the return of Christ, I have to say that. And there is a full release, a full deployment of satanic forces. Now, when I say satanic forces, I'm not talking about which is coming to do, which is biting you. That's not what Satan is doing. But that's what comes to your mind, which is appearing. They say, "Oh, that's what Satan is doing." The influence is in the heart of men. He seeks to put many waters. In the heart of men, influencing the heart to resist us. So by preaching the gospel to many, many are going mad. Get to the streets. See what is happening. And it's normal. It's normal. It's normal. So God said, "I have my own strategy. This my strategy is my battle axe." And before you think he's talking about it, he's saying, "You are the axe." So you're asking God his strategy to break down Babylon and all these things. He says, "You are the battle axe." Who is you again? The Israel of God. And I am in the Israel of God. Ah, glory to God. He says, "You are my battle axe." I think it's Galatians 6 verse 19. If I'm not mistaken, that Paul called the church. It's not my notes anyway. It just came to me to mention that. The Israel of God. I think Galatians 6. Okay, it's not to 19. Hallelujah. I think I'll just get that quickly. Well, I wonder where is he bringing this Israel of God thing from. Hallelujah. Verse 16. 6 verse 16. "As many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon their mercy and upon the Israel of God." The nation of Israel is not... Is there a physical, just you see, I'm going, I'm very spiritual here. Is there a physical Babylon? Yes, but that's not what we're talking about. Is there a physical Israel? Yes, but that's not what we're talking about. The sons of Abraham are not they who are natural descendants, but they who are of the same faith of Abraham. And that's the Israel of God. That's the Israel of God. And he says, "You are my battle axe." Without the mess this nation has made, this city has caused, this woman sitting up in many waters, and the Bible said many waters, that's many people, are under her influence. God has a strategy. "You are my battle axe. You are my weapon of war. We too are breaking pieces the nations. We too are breaking pieces kingdoms." And I think God said to someone, if you are in an environment where there is a strong domination of Babylon, God is saying, "With you, I will break in pieces the nations." That's what he wants to do. And by the time we get to 24, to tell you that he's not talking about all the nations of the world, after he said, "With you, with you, with you," in our God verse 20, they said, "I will render to the nation the city is talking about. And to all the inhabitants of Chaldea, all their evil. They have done in Zion." We are going to, you see, raise people today that will counter what Satan is doing eyeball to eyeball. And I'll show you how. It's not by praying, "Every Babylon died." That's not it. As much as you realize how spiritual warfare is fought. You see that Jezebel, she appeared. You see, Jezebel is, I'm going to touch a little today. Crazy woman. Ahab was afraid. Jezebel said, "Tell Elijah, by tomorrow, I will have his head." what gods. Do you know who Elijah is? Elijah confronted this guy and tell Ahab that Elijah is here. You don't know who Elijah is. You know Ahab is the king. And Ahab appeared and called Elijah troubler of Israel. He said, it is you and your fathers that have troubled Israel. And Ahab went home sad. Jezebel said, what's the problem? Ahab was a king in the physical. But the guy ruling the city was that lady. The spiritual forces. I cannot think about it. Ahab was just a statue. Like king in chess. Have you played chess? Very foolish king. What is useless? That's the most foolish king I've ever seen. He can't move. He can't. They just moves one step, one step. The queen can travel. If you don't play, if you don't know how to play chess, we are just dealing with you. Very foolish king. But that was Ahab. Remember when he wanted to take Naboth's land too? He came crying, hey, just basically go and sleep. Tomorrow, it's not about Naboth. So he wrote to Elijah and said, see, what I will do to you, I will have your head. Elijah ran away. Elijah ran away and told God, kill me. It's better you kill me than for this woman to kill me. Okay. You find that demonic force still ravaging our generation. And I showed you many years after, John the Baptist will come in the spirit of Elijah. And one day Herod was holding an event, another king who just stayed. And his daughter was dancing. I told you that spirit controls kings. Did I tell you? The daughter was dancing. Oh! And Herod said, anything you want. And guess who she went to ask? The mother, the wife of Herod. The same pattern repeating itself in two generations. Every time God raises an Elijah, Satan raises a Jezebel. It's the same pattern. When asked, what should I ask for? Exactly what the woman asked to say, tell him you want John the Baptist's head. Why? You know, think about it. Ask anything you want in your life. Imagine a king said, up to half of my kingdom, ask me, I'll give you. He said, I don't want half of your kingdom. Give me John the Baptist said. What is it with these spirits and prophets? You follow me this evening. Give me that woman. That, nothing else. Herod couldn't say no. And they gave John the Baptist said. But you know, there will be many others that will rise in the spirit of Elijah. The first Elijah ran from her. Second Elijah, they took the head. Okay. So God is promising to raise his battle axe. And the church is that Israel. I want to pray with you. I say a few things about this whole thing. Because I'll tell you one or two characteristics of people that God is going to raise to attack. Because we are actually going in. I wonder if that preaching the gospel is warfare. We are actually going in for war. Because actually, the natural thing, when you are going to preach the gospel to people initially, you need to see them as they are unbelievers. Well, I wish you can also start seeing them as they are people under a terrible demonic influence. I know what I'm talking about. And so, a lot of people are under this strong manipulation. Under this strong manipulation. You find them in campuses. Look at your city. Look at your campus. Look at Nigeria. Things are just happening. Now, the reason is simple. There is a spirit that controls the heart of man. The way the New Testament you put it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Let me do it a little. Let me just say that. So it's not look like we're just Then spherical thing said, he said, you had it who were dead in travels and sins. He said, you used to be dead in travels and sins. Now somebody says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. They say, when he says in time past, what was he referring to? Huh? Before you got saved. He said, before you got saved, how can you? According to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So it's not just revelation and vision that said that there's a demonic force. John used Babylon. This is teaching. John used Babylon because he actually had a vision. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? Are you guys receiving it? Yeah. But Paul is saying the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that now work in the children of disobedience. So there's a spirit that works in this room. So you are going to meet an unbeliever. You're not just going to meet someone that said, I will not believe in Jesus. There is something you are contending with. That's why when you go preach without prayer, you are just about to waste your time. Well, and maybe let me cheat this in. I didn't plan to talk about this, but let me cheat this in. That's why some of you will just say, go start a cell. And you just carry your Bible like that and say, let's gather, let's meet. Who? Do you know what you're up against? Do you understand? If you can just come and tell and say, let's gather, let's meet. You can be church, nobody will respond to it. I'll see something in the spirit. I'm seeing someone shouting. I just saw that like a flash. Shouting very loud in a city. But the voice is not being heard. People are walking, and I'm seeing them talking, walking all around the person. Shouting, say something. But people can't hear what he's saying. They see her opening her mouth, him opening his mouth, but they can't hear. Your voice has been suppressed in your city. Your voice has been covered in your city. Things are happening. You have the message. You have the gospel. Nobody wants to hear you. How do you think? Because you didn't ask me to this time and said, let's get people are coming. It is spirits that control men. Let me drop something, but listen, let me tell you. I've learned my message, but see, if you're going to take a city, a cell, a school, you must be praying. For the past 2-3 months, any good church can tell you, except you have not been joining, we've been having prayer watch every day, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m. That's since April. So now, it's going to run. I've told them already. Maybe even tell them for free. It will run to the end of the year. If God leads us, that may run until the end of this church whenever Jesus comes. Let me tell you, I've told you what I want to establish here. I want us to have a church where prayer is being said every. We're getting there. Let's build our structure first. Where prayer is being said every minute of the day. You are contending with things that, you don't see people. And I did ministry first in a school environment, secondary school environment. Girls' school. I know how demons function in those places. So the labor is, do you remember that one day we went to preach in, one day they came to call us for having retreats and all that. Now, what I'm telling you now is dramatic, but it actually happened. They came out in their hostel and rain was falling. People gathered around the hostel and then rain fell. I'm telling you a real life story. Rain fell into, and waters gathered around some of this. They had this quadrangle that they built around there and then its spirit appeared. I'm not telling you, do you understand what I mean? If one person sees snake, that must be a python. But there was one person that saw this one. The students, the spirits appeared and then jumped into the water and began to swim. After swimming, disappeared. Now, I'm telling you, a number of the students began to jump into that water, began to swim in the same water. Do you remember this? How did I get involved? While I was in retreat in church, it happened on a Saturday. When they all came out, strange things began to happen. They began to call their principal. Principal said, I'm not around. Look for any man of God you know. That's how I got involved. Any man of God you know, anywhere. So while they kept having the treats and they came, he said, you have to come over to Macedonia and help us. Only two or 3 days past that period. And I said, no, we cannot go. We actually in a, we can't break our meeting. So they persuaded. I just prayed a little, and the Holy Ghost said, well, go with the whole team. Everybody should go. We got there, preached salvation and all that. You know how I left the meeting? We ran away. We were casting out devils. And don't you see, for more than 1 hour, remember we have not eaten one fast, 2 days, or 3 days, dry fast. So we cast out devils to a point, just whisper to them, if you can't find me again, I've got, we ran, like, there was so much to be done. And it's not like if there was microphone, it would have, but there was no mic, it was an impromptu meeting. The whole students gathered. We're going, black man, and layers, layers. Ah, at the time, I say, I faint here now. They will say, the demon has caught me too, so. So you come into some of those schools, this is not manifested physically, but sometimes you come to some of those schools, everybody there is giving to lesbianism. Everybody there is thinking, said, you wondering, what is happening? She came from a good home. If you have kids, get them saved early. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost early. The easiest time for someone to get born again is between the age, between the age of, is it 6 or what? At 14. That is the easiest time. I don't know what I'm talking about. It has been proven. Easiest time. At that point, between 4 and 14 years, I remember. Between 4 and 14, that's the easiest time. So at that point, the man is still. So once they can understand that, so save, get them saved, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, push them to prayer trails. Satan is on a rampage on the world. Are you following me? Well, so the God is raising his battle axe. And I'll tell you some of the things that will characterize the men that God is raising in this last day. I'll just say 3 or 4, then I will pray with you. You can already sense that something is going to erupt here, Abby. So number one, there will be men that will refuse to compromise to that lady standard. Because even though her influence is in the world, she's cast that influence even over the church. You must refuse to compromise to her standards. To her standards. Revelation 18 verse 4 said, come out from her. Come out from her. He said, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people, that I may be not partakers of her sin. So you must come out from her. Now, that's why, if you are here in the day, I said a lot along the lines of consecration. Do you remember? A lot. So you must not yield yourself to, you notice, one example you will find is, for instance, in Babylon, the physical Babylon now. I'm going to use an example to show you. Who are the people that finally conquered Babylon? They were 4. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. What was the first thing we saw about them? Daniel 1 verse 8. Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's kitchen. It's simple. So if you want to get this, now you must come to a point where you are not someone that is given to compromise. Don't, now let me say what I'm saying in simple English. Don't follow the trend. Whatever that is a crazy fashion trend, crazy trend of foolishness, don't follow it. Things don't just happen. Believers that just follow crazy trends. Then there is this guy that will come out. You know, sometimes say, this one should be open, this one should be closed. You say, wow, I like it, it's what I like. Don't be like that. I'm just warning you. You say, why? Will I go to hell? Well, no. But you can, you might not actually be fit for what God wants to do with you. Then the believers get into school and start smoking. Somebody was explaining hookup to me. No, that's not the thing she was saying. It's not hookup. That the man we just, the gentleman just came and said, we should, I should come. My friend connected me that we should just go there, sit down with him, just eat. He just wants people that will eat. He's lonely in town. People that will eat with him and drink with him. And he said, he will not do anything. He will not even go to his room. I said, how some of you talk as if you are foolish when I know you are not? So your mind, this person, does it make sense to you? Does it make any sense to you? Say, yes, you just come, just sit down and eat and drink with him and go. He's lonely. I said, tell me, truth, have you gone? I said, the devil is tricky. She said, yes. I said, then it's happened. She said, no. We just went after eating, drinking. He gave us money. And he left. I even traveled back. He came back again, called us. We came, ate, drink, went back. Nothing. People don't, you think you're smarter than the devil, I mean. And as I wanted to move on in the conversation, the Holy Ghost said, press her further. That is something. I said, talk. He said, okay, fine. That was one of those other days I went. And it's not like anything, but he now said, so man, when he now asked for the thing, I didn't know how I could tell him no. I said, how can you tell a man no? A man you've been eating this money since 90 Abraham. And let me say this to you here. If you expose yourself to an influence, that influence will overpower you. I'm telling you for free. So he said you must come out from among. That's something I don't want to go into because I believe that we don't have such people here. But let me just drop it. If you are here and you're a man of God or you want to be a man of God and you are ready to do anything to be powerful, anything to be popular, anything to be anointed, let me tell you, you're a candidate for Babylonian spirits. I want to be known. I want to be popular. No, we're talking about in the day. Training, process, growth. You don't want that one. You want to start a church in 2 weeks. We jump from 8 people to 8,000 people. Glory to God. You're a candidate for Jezebel. They like your type. Your type. Is that how you like it? That's why they like you too. You've been made an offer. I said, no, who means it? God help me. But I was made an offer in this same Enugu town by some false prophets. Say, look what this first thing you are doing. Let's help you. I'm not joking. I said, leave first so you help me. How? Say, all this fast. Let's help you. I was in a conference in Port Harcourt with many years ago. Some people were here with me too. And this guy was telling me that he's a young prophet, that he came from Abba, and that, you know, that he was telling me how to do ministry. I was looking at him like a fool. No, I was playing the fool, just playing. I said, wow, are you serious? And I said, Abba, my pictures everywhere, my posters everywhere. I said, wow. In actually, he now told me, for instance, do you think all these testimonies these guys are sharing on this stage, you think all of them happened? I said, yes. He said, yeah. That's what we say. He now told me, see, let me tell you, I've never left this country, but if you come to my program, I've been to every part of this world. I'm not joking. So, told me. So, as who was there with me, I think, why there? Some people are there. I think Mr. Norman was there. Pastor Casey, not Pastor Casey, Pastor Casey, yes, my friend was there. Then if you come to my program, you will see I've been to every part of the world, I've been to nations of the earth. I say, why do you do that? He said, if they don't know that you are powerful, they will not respect you. Now I was playing the fool. I was acting as though, like, I was like, are you serious? He was mentoring me in the spirit. And then, progressively, I couldn't take it anymore. So I told him, you're a very big fool. You know, it's not that I'm now, I've grown now. I say, you're a very big fool. He said, I say, I'm very foolish. I said, I have some advice for you. He said, what? I said, number one, when did you stop school? He said, I dropped out of my SS1 to serve God. I said, go back to school. I'm not just saying go back to school because the way I sound, you need to see Sonny Hannah and you go back to school. He said, is that about school? I said, no, boy, you're not even serving God. Not even serving Him. If that guy is still in ministry today, if he didn't take my counsel, I can almost tell you that he's using demonic powers to work. You know what I mean, demonic powers? Even if you don't go to a native doctor, familiar spirits will attend to you. You know, brother, he will always warn us. He said, you can be this minute in the spirit and the next minute in the flesh. Always. So he said, come out from among them. So you can't compromise the Sunday. So the first guy, God wants to raise people who will not compromise their standard, not compromise their standard. Number two, people who will be very bold. That's the characteristic of those men. Very bold. Very bold. It takes boldness to confront these spirits. It takes what? Boldness. You remember her now? What made Elijah run? Fear. Very bold in their stance. So how did Daniel then conquer Babylon? Boldness. We will not compromise. All of us must worship this God and say, no, we will not do it. You know, see what I'm saying? You have a preaching. I'm not going to preach yet. But I say, if you're going to be someone that God is going to do a lot with us, it's part of us in these last days, you cannot get into an environment and you are shaped that you are born again. You can't do it. You must be very bold and loud between you are. It's not in the days of Elijah, the days of Jehu, there are prophets who are hiding in the cave. God does not do much with those people. Must be bold with your stand. Must be bold with your stand. They asked Daniel, from now, nobody to pray to another God. The Bible said that day, he opened his window. You know, some of us are not ready for what God wants to do in these days because we are still, our Christianity is still in our pockets. He said, I'm not that Christian, I'm not that, spirit. I'm a Christian that no way, I'm in the middle. The funny thing is that I don't know way. I know the way. Jesus is the way. That's not that way I want to know. But I can tell you for free. Don't pray, you will open everything. Shadrach and Abednego, you must bow to this God. They said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter, O King. Imagine talking to your king. Like, we are not careful that. Is old English. I don't know how to say it in modern English. I'm not afraid to tell you this thing I want to tell you. But what I want to tell you actually is that there is no way I'll do this thing. He said, our God who we serve, he is well able to deliver us. So that must be that bold. You see, it is bold believers that God will use in these last days. Not people who are standing in the fence. Trying to look a bit unserious in your work with God, a bit unbelievable. Let me say this to you. I told you guys when I get admission to university, I was carrying big Bible to school. And that's the reason I was doing it. I'm not saying a Bible carrying Christian is a spiritual person. I'm only saying I wanted everybody to know that I'm a believer and I'm bold about it. Nothing to mix, nothing to mingle. Bold. Nobody should bow to this God. They say, we are. Whether you say yes, they told Daniel he must pray to whatever. He said, well, I'm not going to do that. Throw me to the lions then. And they were so sure. You see, do you see where all this is happening? That city. Babylon. Yeah. Babylon will demand worship from you. Do you know what Nebuchadnezzar declared? Not that people should bow down to another God, that people should bow down to him. Like, he will come out and stand. And nobody said, that's what he wanted. He said, no. We are not careful to answer you. We will not do this thing. I need bold Christians. Christians are not ashamed of their faith. We are not ashamed of what they stand for, what they believe. We in their school, in their neighborhood, are not afraid to say, I'm born again. And I don't do this. This is against my faith. Do you still say those things? This thing is against my faith. Say that they will laugh at me. That's the demon. You're not happy they're laughing at you. They didn't laugh at Daniel or they couldn't even tell you that laughing at God reveals as his battle axe. Why? In order to compromise, still you are bold with your claim. I'm proudly a church boy. There are people you get to their Facebook page, you can't even tell that they're born again. They're keeping it cool. The question I want to ask you is, people who are not born again, are they keeping it cool that they're not born again? Think about it. Don't you go to people's pages? There are pages you go to, some of you know it, and from the first people, they keep putting immoral pictures. Have you seen such pages? Why are they so poor doing that? Other pages you go to, they are deflecting attention from beginning to end. A full page. So pages you go to, they just crazy stuff. So if they're so bold, that what it means that God is half color. And nobody knows the color. Do you know what that means? Like, was that something bad? We created a color for it, and every time you see us wearing it, it's weird. Yeah, that's boldness. But you don't want to sound too serious as a Christian. You just want to be there. Me, just a church goer. You must be bold. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed. He said, why would Paul say he's not ashamed? Because both days, the gospel was something to be ashamed of. Have I explained that to you before? That was very fast. The cross was not something to be proud of. The fact that I identified with a man that was murdered on a tree, but that I'm not ashamed of it. We must lift the power of Jesus high. We must. And that's why even the way I do church, I'm not trying to do church to fix anybody or fix the world system. I do church the Bible way. The Bible of long teachings. No, there are churches today. I'm not joking. There are churches today that you can't speak in tongues. Pentecostal churches. It's not like they will beat you if you speak. But those people are saying, in Jesus' name, Father, with this opening prayer. We thank you for this service. Thank you for bringing us to this service. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know what they're doing? They're compromising. They are trying to package their church to meet the standard of the world. And guess what will happen? Such men will troop to that church. There are churches that Satan would rather have you stay. You didn't hear what I said, though. If you pass with all that kind of church, if you can start be happy that you joined. Imagine that. That's it. Happen to you in that place, he's so sure. Are you getting the point? Do you know the power of tongues? Do you pray in tongues? Do you pray in tongues? You know, sometimes, you know, yesterday my brother was sharing with me a very powerful testimony of someone, a believer that got affected by demonic spirits and began to talk like a mad person. They took him from place to place trying to help him and all that. I was someone close to him. He said, I'm going to help you. Give him Christian books, give him messages to read. And it wasn't working. Because he was listening to some other guys. There are people you don't expose your mind to. Let me tell you, just that I'm just trying to be fair. Let me tell you something there. You know, there are false prophets. Eh? And there are fake prophets. There are people that are not just spiritual, they don't know what they're saying, they're giving false. There are people that are fake, like they're using demonic, diabolic powers. And they're in our world today, all around. Don't even try to sound fine. I know that I want to talk because I know them. You see, how do you know them? The Bible said that anointing that you receive of the Holy One, it said it remains in you. He said, don't need anybody to teach you these things. If I see, I know. Not by the Holy Ghost. God said to me, he's fake. No, can't you? Don't you advise? If you see the doctor, don't meet the doctor. And God was listening to those things. So he called him and said, stop listening to all those things you're listening to. Pay attention to the messages I give you. He said, every morning, he said, every time I said, he will call him to me and say, pray for 4 hours in tongues. Since I'm asking, he said, go inside, I can't pray in tongues. The day after, calling you after, like, stomach, pray for 1 hour in tongues. For days. This guy was already on the influence. He will sit down and be hearing things. Guess what he's hearing? Religious things. He'll be hearing things like, you hear Pastor Henry talking to him. You know, I mentioned this in the morning. He will hear Pastor Henry. He will hear Pastor this. He will hear this talking. He will not be writing. Pastor Henry said to me, guess this is Pastor Henry saying. They are not bad things. Just writing. And he said he will stand. His hand will be vibrating. Family is taking him around. He said, just be praying in tongues. 2 4 hours. 2 3 hours. Read this. I said, one of those books is a fact. Read it. Listen to this message. Pray 5 hours. Pray 3 hours. And gradually, life began to surge again. And this is the same box you put in your pocket.
Said to thee, O captain. And he
arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed the king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, and I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets. You see that same prophet I mentioned to you earlier. He said, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in a portion of Jezreel, and there shall be not to bury her. And this will happen. And he opened the door. Upon that man. It's not something to be not about being a king. It's not about wearing a bada and wearing crown. That guy is going to go mad by what you're going to put upon him. If you don't move, he's going to start with you. And see what happened. You know, and the choice of the prophets that Elijah sent was powerful. And John came forth to the servants of his Lord and what said to him, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to them? They know that guy normally. You know, sometimes in the spirit you can't give what you don't have. We know that guy is a madman. What did he come here to do? So there was something he put upon him. Let me tell you here. I'm going to ask God to intoxicate him. Yeah. Where you begin to, I'm not talking about falling under anointing. I mean, you leave this place. It's like you're under influence. You preach without control. And Jeremiah put it this way. He said, the word is showed up in my bones as fire. That even when I don't want to talk, I'm talking. So he said, something's going to happen to that guy. He's going to be a madman. He said, what did this madman come to tell you? So there are many sons of the prophet, but that particular one is a mad person. The last person, Elijah picked. He said, come. What is about to receive? You carry something like that. So come, let me put it on you. I'm glad I've gone to places. I'm not afraid. What is the next minute? No. I told you guys when I became a president in Jesus. A spirit came, and I'm not missing, was came in the middle of the night after that day to welcome me, a demonic spirit. I was in my dream. See, I didn't see president, you are welcome. We will see. Maybe today boldness starts. I didn't even pray when I got up. You know, so there is good. And I didn't even say the name of Jesus, the Marian Spirit. I've always known that I'm in a battle. But I carried in this, it was not normal. I'm telling you. If I get admission into this, I just tell you, God told me specifically, I will send you as an Elijah. That was his word exactly to that school. I didn't come with anything normal. Broke down the barriers. A lot of things that happened. I know what I came to do. I had one day. So by the time I could do first few months, people began to talk about Pastor Henry, this, that. I know where it's coming from. I said, don't be, Lord just said, don't be distracted. Do your job. Don't. If there was something that came up, they said, Pastor Henry, God said, don't address that matter. Don't talk about it. He said, that's the distraction that is coming. Sometimes you need to get intoxicated with the anointing. That's one of the things I'm going to tell you to do. Is that you must learn to pray yourself full and pray yourself anointed. And listen to me, some of you, if there are cities where you are located, if you are going to make progress there, something else must take over your senses. And Jacob began to drive like a madman. The first place he went to was not even Jezebel's house. They saw it from far and they said, who is that man? He said, I don't know, but the way he's driving like Jacob. He's driving like a madman. I know that anointing. Hey, thank you, Holy Ghost. It commands influence. By the time he arrived at the house of Jezebel, he said, throw her down. Who threw Jezebel down? The same people that were serving her. He did this, throw her down. And he threw her down. I love the mouth of the Holy Ghost. If something must intoxicate you. Something must take over your senses. Something must take over your thinking. Is the mouth of one will start. There is a spirit. They came to Ephesus, that is the name of God Diana. They didn't go to Atrium, no. They just did some things, and then everyone went loose. There's some men, you see, something needs to come because, and I'm not saying this just for to pray for you and you fall and you can stand up. No. When you leave this place, you have to be thinking differently. There is a battle. And it's not just any kind of prophet that takes down Jezebel in the cities. It's a prophet under an influence. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. Under an influence. This is how that goes under his influence. I've had a touch of spirit within as we talk about. He did from within, he put up on. Speaking to yourself in singing of spiritual songs. Singing and making all your heart to the Lord. You pray yourself full and pray yourself anointed. And you have a very strange influence. That influence. You see that, you know, there's some kinds of evangelism. You are almost drunk. When you need to put every word drops into weight. Utterance makes your normal words to carry weight. War against Babylon. I'm going to mention this shortly and we close now. I'm not talking about praying against. No, it's not prayer. Jesus has defeated Babylon and what he says. Sweet revelation. Falling is that city. So he's just sitting upon many waters in the heart of men. So the warfare we are going to is to go and war with God's word. People that are influenced, we meet them and we're going to show them. Just meet them. All our influence. The last thing I put on my note, I said, people that God will use in these last days are people who will be ready to take the battle to the camp of Jezebel. The original mission of Babylon could conquer Babylon, not from outside, from within. They went there. He went to Jezebel's house. Jesus did not say, wait, they will come. Jesus said, go in. Go to their camp. Go to the prostitute camp. Go to where they are. Go to the point. Meet them there. Strange influence. I'm ready to the Holy Ghost. Jesus did not say they will come to you. Mm-mm. He said, go. We are going to church. Yeah. We are going to church. The warfare is the preaching of the world. Next time you stand before a sinner, you are not just about to just talk. You are about to fight. You are about to fight. That's what they're doing. Because there is a demon. They don't even know. It's that demonic Babylon. That demon. That's Jezebel. What Paul calls in Ephesians 2. The spirits that now walks in the children of disobedience. That's that force. John saw it in the spirit and John said, it is the God that sits upon many waters. Same way to describe many things. End point is that is a spirit over man. Some of you that are working in offices, we must rescue our people from the clutches of Babylon. I will announce a prophecy, then we'll pray. Isaiah 47 verse 1. Sing that song you sang in the morning. Hallelujah. Do you remember it?
To God. Most
High. Sing it again. Let me say this as I close. Now, please don't forget what I'm going to say. There are many of you, men of God, preachers, you want to serve God, but they are passing through some very strong, strange attacks in your life, in your finance, in your health. Don't stop. It's an attack of Babylon to shut your tongue. In those days, they said, we will throw you into the fire. It's the same thing going on. But when Babylon tries to shut your tongue and you don't let him, I tell you what will happen, you will rule over the city. Can check Daniel, check Shadrach. When their tongues couldn't be stopped, they began to rule over the city. There are a lot of things I'm saying today. There's a lot I'm saying today. And so don't keep your mouth shut. No matter what is happening around your life, okay, Satan wants to stop you. But you mustn't let him. Are you guys listening to me? Yeah, you're a minister of God here. Yeah? What I'm saying applies to you too. You know it, Abby? Yeah. Holy Spirit, thank you. We'll be strengthened. Many things will happen from this meeting. Some of you, as you leave tonight, you preach to some people. Some of you, tomorrow morning, you'll find yourself preaching. Something is going to come upon your tongue. It will keep moving and vibrating with the gospel. I know the way he wants. I've seen the path he draws. And the Spirit is on over me. He's guiding me, standing in the way. He's guiding me, standing in the way. He's guiding me, standing in the way. Thank you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.